So, I was going to title this episode Fear and Self-Reliance, because a friend of mine was talking about some fears and how he made a list, did some writing about his fear list, about an issue that he was having. And I was thinking about what it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous about fear in chapter 5, how it works. Many people go to AA meetings and they hear a section called How It Works, read at the beginning of the meeting, but they don't know for a while, or maybe they never find out that there's an actual chapter called How It Works, which is not the only description of the 12 steps in the big book. But the whole chapter talks about basically step 3 and step 4, and it gives us a guideline for how to live, how to do inventories for the rest of our lives in step 10, or step 4, if you want to call it that. But basically, one of the aspects of step 4 is the fear list. After we make our list of our resentments, which it describes on pages 65, 66, and then it goes through a very specific kind of prayer about our resentments, it talks about the part of our part, which is our mistakes. And then it talks about, and then it literally says, when we talk about our mistakes on page 67, it says, referring to our list again, and this is the list of our resentments, it says, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's or person's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Now, I want to emphasize that we make this list after we pray and we ask God to help us treat people like they were sick, like us, like a sick friend. How can I be helpful to them? How, God, save me from being angry. But then it also says after this, just to talk about fear again, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches upon every aspect of our lives. And, you know, it describes what fear is and what it's like. And it says we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them down on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. So this is a totally different list. This has nothing necessarily to do with our resentments. This is a list of our fears that we write down on paper or on the internet, whatever notepad you use. I use different things like Evernote. We asked ourselves why we had them. Keep reading here. Don't just stop and say, why do I have fears? According to Bill, and based on his teachers and the people he worked with, not just him, but also every people that were influenced in AA, including the Oxford group, he says, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. So he's basically saying here, the self-reliance isn't necessarily bad. And you will hear different things in AA meetings which contradict this, that we have to rely entirely on God all the time. And that's not what he's saying. The big book was not as black and white, God or nothing, as some people would like you to think. And that's why it's important to read it for yourself and to read it line by line and say, look, it says here on page 68, self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. It didn't fully solve. That means, and Bill would probably agree, that sometimes self-confidence is good. So is self-reliance. Is it everything and all or nothing? No. He says, when it made us cocky, it was worse, so we don't want to be cocky. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for we now are on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. Just to the extent that we do, as we think he would have us, we humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. And there's some really powerful stuff in this page, you know, when he says we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. And there's this whole thing about how we don't apologize for God. All men of faith have courage. We let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us to be. At once we commence to outgrow fear. Now, so what it's basically saying here is the action is for us to make a list of our fears and then ask God to remove them and then ask him or them or it to direct our attention to what he would have us be. That is a bigger thing. And it seems very small and subtle, but this is continually something that the Big Book talks about, that we're asking God to direct our thoughts, to guide us, to direct our thoughts, not just to take away our fears, but to guide us and show us how he would have us be. So it's not just about self-reliance and about relying upon a higher power, but in addition to, and then in step 10, and I'm jumping around because when you go to chapter 6, it talks about the rest of the steps up to 11. It says in step 10, on page 84, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So it says, even as we're working on our ninth step, we start the tenth step. It says it right there. As we cleaned up the past in the ninth step, making amends, we start doing the tenth step. We have entered the world of the Spirit, capital S. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And this is an incredible paragraph because this comes before the 10-step promise, which is we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. By this time, Sandy will have returned. You know, these are the 10-step promises. And this paragraph describes what we do every day, all day long. From the moment we wake up until the moment we pass out and sleep, we vigorously look for, continue to watch for, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So then, when I have fears, I don't have to make a fear list, and I do both. And I've been doing this for over 20 years, sober. I ask God to remove my fear, and then it says, we discuss with someone immediately. Now, that's not practical all the time. If it's small fears, I don't have to talk to somebody every 5 minutes. And we make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. I think that's very important, that we make amends. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And that doesn't necessarily mean an alcoholic, right? Maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your partner, someone that you can be helpful to. Love and tolerance of others is our code. You know, I hope that's helpful because, you know, when people talk about fear, certainly, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is being able to walk through fear and not be afraid to take an action. Saying fear won't stop us, you know, and so the idea that I can be fully free from fear that doesn't jive with a lot of people's experience, you know, and God will remove my fears, and some of them will come back. And I can ask God to remove my defects of character anytime I want. I can practice the seventh step anytime I want. And that could be asking God to remove my defects of character. It can be the seven-step prayer. The Big Book has many tools, and it's a design for living. Other versions of the steps are not the AA program. They are not a design for the design for living that's described in the Big Book. They are often a hodgepodge of ideas that have been passed down and distorted and watered down and have gotten away from the sense of urgency and the success rate of the early days of AA, which was 75% success rates. And now you hear stories about people in treatment centers saying that almost everybody in this room is going to relapse. And you say, well, that's not AA. You know, and the treatment centers might have an incentive for people to relapse. AA does not, except that in AA, we, and I myself, don't need newcomers to stay sober. I want to help newcomers. The newcomers are important. The most important person in the room is, well, I don't know. It's a ridiculous question, really. It's not in the Big Book. The most important person, there's nothing in the Big Book that says the newcomer is the most important person in the room. It does talk about, in A Vision for You, about how we create a fellowship around us by helping newcomers. And we certainly want to do that. And I want to do that. I want to work with newcomers, and I want to help people who've been sober for a while get back to basics, to work with newcomers, to work with people who haven't done the steps at all, or need to do them again, or need to focus on 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And I think during COVID, I really was reminded of this, that many people got sober during COVID working the steps without in-person meetings. They had Zoom meetings, which were quite different in some respects. And people relied on Zoom meetings, like I did a lot of the time, for fellowship and for support. But it was 10, 11, and 12 that really got me through it. It was the inventories that I did, and specifically discussions around the inventories that I had did during that time. It was not from going to meetings and telling people my problems. I rarely shared at meetings on Zoom. Many people did, and that was very helpful for me. Many newcomers did. I had a hard time sharing on Zoom, but I went to a lot of Zoom meetings, and I did hear people talk about the Big Book. Many old-timers talked about the Big Book. People, even with relatively early sobriety, talked about the Big Book and how they had worked the 12 steps and had a spiritual experience as a result of the steps. And I don't necessarily think that the Big Book is the only way to work the steps. It is very specific. It is the AA program. And someone might say, well, my program is different, and my sponsor gave me instructions that are not in the Big Book, but that's how he got sober and that's how he sponsors. It's like, well, yeah, but how many people have been sponsored that way and been successful? I don't know. Millions of people, I think, have been sponsored through the Big Book. Or, you know, maybe millions. I don't know how many, but many people have. And in the early days, the success rate was 75% of people who eventually got sober and stayed sober. And so, you know, and that number is debatable, but it's better than 5% or 1% or whatever the horrible statistics are in many places. So even if it's 70%, it's better than what we're seeing now. So getting back to the Big Book and, you know, changing the pronouns or whatever you need to do to make yourself comfortable, I think, is the answer. So, and I've been focused on the Big Book for over 20 years for myself and for others. And to me, it's the foundation for everything I've been able to do in my life. whether it's going to therapy or practicing other spiritual practices or going to, you know, retreats or whatever I've done, it's the foundation for the traditions as well. And the concepts, I think. So fear is the evil corroding thread. And the reason for fear is because self-reliance failed us, and that we need to rely on a higher power. And not to rely too much on meetings, maybe. Although I rely on meetings a lot, too. Maybe my higher power does speak at the through other people in meetings. I don't know. I hear good things in meetings. Sometimes I hear something incredible from a newcomer, like to remind me to do an inventory or pray about something. Sometimes I hear stuff from people that reminds me of how I don't want to be. And I see people who are suffering as a result of not working the steps, because they haven't worked the steps at all, or they haven't worked the steps and they're suffering from untreated alcoholism, and they're suffering. They are suffering alcoholics, and therefore our primary purpose is to help them. They're suffering because they haven't worked the steps, and many of them have sponsors who are not available, or they have sponsors who are not taking them through the steps in the big book. Who are allowing them to take their time and spend months on their fourth step when it should be done in a week or less, maybe 2 weeks. If someone's 30 years old and they're taking a year to do their fourth step, they're not, and they're suffering and they're thinking about drinking. It's a simple answer. It's good enough. Do your fifth step now, immediately, so that you can do 6, 7, 8, and 9. This is a person who hasn't done their fourth step in a year, or their fifth step. They haven't completed it, and that's prevented them from doing a ninth step, right? And their sponsor has allowed this. So how are we able to blame newcomers when sponsors encourage or allow them to spend more than a week or 2 weeks on their fourth step and thus suffer and relapse, when they should say, well, you know, you have to be done with your fourth step and whatever you've done is good enough? And that's myself too. And I also look at my own behavior as a sponsor to have allowed people to suffer over a period of time, instead of saying, well, you know, I can't work with you, I'm going to have to work with somebody else because you're not willing to do your fourth step. And that's hard, you know. I don't want people to relapse, but I also don't want them to suffer. So anyway, that's my thoughts today about fear and the fourth step and inventory, and I hope that was helpful.